Enchantment in the Mills Forest. Grignon, the Dumas Mill, Forest, Thursday, October 9th, 2024. I am Constantin, the venerable olive tree of Philippe, my human. I stand proudly at the entrance of his estate. It's true that I have a rather chatty nature. I love to inspire all sorts of things in travelers when they place their hand on my bark: stories, anecdotes, encouragement, advice, anything to revitalize them. You know, I've seen a lot. I strongly suggest you read the book that tells my story. Me, Constantin, 181 years old, written by Philippe himself. Would you like me to tell you about my latest adventure with my fellow trees? Philippe, I have a feeling our readers would love to hear a story about trees. Can I tell them what we experienced last week in the forest of the estate? Good news! Philippe just gave me his permission. Ah, but first, let me introduce you to the members of our forest community at the mill. I'll tell you about the incident afterward, all right? Don't worry, it's been resolved since then. It was just a misunderstanding between trees. Our forest is home to a wonderful crowd. Each of its inhabitants has their own unique personality. As you stroll through, you might hear, for instance, the light laughter of Noise, the hazelnut tree. His signature move is tossing a few hazelnuts here and there to mock the other trees. Then there's Pepino, the poplar, who's always trying to reflect the light. You'll often see him puffing up his foliage, perhaps out of vanity. Pepino's audacity also lies in his fierce determination to conquer new skies. Next to him stands Hercule, the majestic and benevolent oak. His branches stretch out generously, providing a refuge for both birds and dreamers alike. His presence reassures you while simultaneously inspiring respect. He embodies the wisdom of ancient times. Over there is Félicien, the sprightly ash tree, whose light leaves dance with the breeze. His jovial spirit brings joy and lightness to your walk. Then you'll meet Clément, the hardy hornbeam. Time and wind have twisted his trunk. His dense foliage forms a pleasant shelter, perfect for the small creatures that love heights. When you encounter him, you immediately get the feeling he's an old friend you've known for a lifetime. A little further away, surrounded by Provence reeds, you'll find Marius, the wild Mirabel tree. His golden fruits glisten under the summer sun. Cheerful and mischievous, he invites you to pick his sweet Mirabelles before they fall to the ground. That is, if the season and weather permit it. I mustn't forget the youngest members of this great family of trees. Like me, they live a little outside the forest. There's Pino, the recently planted pine, who proudly displays his young trunk under the sky. His needles, a bright, fresh green, dance before your eyes in the soft breeze. Nearby is Tisane, a linden tree exuding a delicate, sweet fragrance in the heart of the threshing area. Tisane and Pino are the officially designated guardians, in charge of watching over the very young trees Jude, Judah, Selene, and Zephyr. It would be unfair not to mention the family of four fig trees, Uncle Fortin and his nephews Figaro, Félicité, and Figu. The trio livens up the edge of the pond, while Fortin stands watch over the dike wall of the estate. Lastly, dear readers, I've saved the best for last those I consider my closest kin. The olive trees of the park, along with their confidants, the cypress trees of Provence. For your information, I am the oldest tree on the estate. Licinius, Maxillian, and Crispus may not be as old as me, but they are confirmed centenarians. Together, the four of us form what is known as the Council of Forest Elders. I'm sharing this with the utmost humility, of course. Now, you know everyone. Quite enriching, isn't it? Let's get back to what happened last week. You're curious now, aren't you? All right, here we go. Felipe was on his usual morning walk. Yes, he enjoys strolling through his forest, which he calls magical. Soon, you will understand why. As he passed beneath my branches, he brushed against my bark. Perhaps he was trying to comfort me, with autumn just beginning. Personally, I am resilient, nothing to worry about. Felipe first noticed the unusual behavior of Noes, who was more restless than usual. The bursts of laughter from the hazelnut tree echoed through the undergrowth, but carried an unsettling tension this time, something unhealthy. "Look at that poplar acting like a king! We are not your subjects. Such arrogance," he proclaimed loudly for all to hear. Noes was greatly annoyed. What had gotten into him? Arboreal squabbles were not his style. Offended, Pepino puffed up his foliage in response to Noes's attack. The atmosphere was truly tense. A few canopies bristled here and there. The other trees, caught in the storm of exchanges, began murmuring among themselves. They were as concerned about Noes's arrogant behavior as they were about Pepino's aggressive and inappropriate response. Philippa overheard Hercule, the ever-unflappable oak, trying to calm the conflict between the two trees. "My friends, remember that each of us has a role in this forest. Noes, let Pepino shine. He feels the need to seek light as high as possible. It is vital for him. And you, Noes, you are mischievous and joyful. That is just as vital for us and for the walkers." Hercule's words were full of wisdom, yet the murmurs and chatter persisted. The trees became mired in division. Félicien, the ash tree, tried to lighten the electric atmosphere. "Why don't we organize a leaf dance to celebrate the diversity of our community? This could ease the tension in the forest." Everyone seemed enthusiastic about this suggestion, except for Pepino. The poplar feared losing his grandeur during such an absurd and improbable dance, especially now that many trees were already shedding leaves in this autumnal season. I then spoke up in the assembly. Felipe listened to me intently, which impressed me. I felt nervous. My voice rose above the rustling around me. "My dear friends, I am the oldest here. I also speak under the guidance of Lucinius, Maxilian, and Crispus, my fellow members of the Areopagus of the forest. Let me remind you that our existence here, together, is far more precious than any fleeting rivalries that may arise. Every branch, every leaf, every fruit we bear brings unique and infinite richness to our home. Indeed, dances and songs are important. But what is essential is to be aware of and respectful of our mission, shared and unique to each of us here and now." I heard a wave of approving murmurs rising through the foliage. Philippe, leaning against Hercule, looked at me, visibly pleased with my intervention. To put my words into action, Lucinius, Maxilian, and Crispus proposed a nominative list of roles for a vote. The proposal was unanimously accepted. I had the impression that Felipe was smiling. Still, I hoped he took our plenary assembly seriously. Sometimes I doubt it, he can be a little mocking. But we love him so much, this human. My three fellow elders then began to announce the roles for each tree. "We, members of the Areopagus of the forest, the eldest among the ancient trees of this domain, in honor of our venerable guide, Constantine, propose to this assembly, based on our observations, the following roles and duties for each tree rooted here." Wow! I was proud of them, and I must admit, a little flattered. I really liked their introduction. In any case, Not a single sound could be heard in the forest. Even the insects had stopped moving. Philippa had gone back to the mill. I understood he wanted to leave us to our arborist intimacy. I would tell him the outcome of our meeting the next day. Lucinius began. These roles will be upheld for a period of 50 years, starting today. They will be reassessed every 50 years, based on the behavior of each, their impact on our community, as well as on the visitors to this magical forest, and following the mandatory consultative opinion of Philippe and his successors, Constantine will be responsible for interpreting human reactions and transmitting them to us. We hereby schedule the next assembly to evaluate and monitor the roles of each tree for Thursday, October 9, 2074, at this very spot. Maximilian continued. Here are the roles and duties of each. Noes, the hazelnut tree, the forest's prankster, will bring lightness and humor. His main role will be to entertain other trees and visitors with his jokes and hazelnut tosses. He will also ensure provisions for the squirrels and small rodents of the domain. Pepino, the tallest poplar, symbolizing ambition, will encourage the pursuit of growth and aspiration among us. His role is to seek light and inspire other trees to shine in their own roles. The benevolent and majestic oak, Hercule, will serve as the wise protector. He will offer refuge and safety while teaching the value of patience and wisdom to the other trees. Felician, the ash tree, will bring joy. His role is to promote conviviality and celebrate diversity, hosting gatherings and festivities in the forest. He will also safeguard the bird language practiced here. Clément, the hornbeam, with its abundant foliage, will offer shelter and comfort to small creatures. His role will be that of a benevolent host, creating a safe haven for biodiversity. Marius, the Mirabelle tree, will act as a fruit producer, nourishing the inhabitants of the forest and visitors. His role is therefore nurturing. Pino, the pine tree in his youth, will embody growth and potential. His role will be to bring new energy to the forest while representing the future of the trees. Tisane, the central lime tree, with its delicate fragrance, will have the mission of transmitting calm and serenity, offering a haven of peace to passers-by and other trees. Judah, Silene, and Zephyr, the Judas trees, will add a touch of magic and beauty in spring with their purple blossoms. Their role will be to bring color and seasonal joy. They will always be the bees' favorites. Finally, the three young fig trees, Figaro, Felicite, and Figu, will create a warm and welcoming atmosphere along the riverbanks. Their role will be to encourage social interaction among the community of trees, animals, and humans by generously producing sweet fruits for everyone's enjoyment. Crispus, the third olive tree of the quartet, concluded the intervention of the trio of elders. Lastly, their old uncle Fortin, while maintaining a certain distance, will take on the role of guardian of the waters, watching over the dike wall. The Provence cypresses, our confidants, will serve as welcoming and protective figures for visitors, enhancing the forest's sense of open community. Crispus invited me to conclude. Thank you, Crispus. Does the assembly unanimously approve the assignment of each role? The general rustling of leaves confirmed the consensus. I am pleased to see that we have found a way to ensure our harmony. The roles we have distributed, as guided by the elders, are designed to revitalize the forest, allowing each tree to make its unique contribution to the balance of our ecosystem. I declare this session closed. The next meeting will take place in 50 years, at the same hour. Precisely. Thank you. Dear reader, I believe that famous night recorded the highest leaf rustling coefficient in at least 5 centuries. Without wind! Magical, isn't it? I assure you, Felipe felt a different atmosphere in the forest the next morning. A palpable peace fostered harmony among all the trees. He even came to see me. This time, he took his time, sitting with his back against my trunk. I told him all about the assembly. He was delighted that all tensions had been resolved. Each tree had been assigned its role and found its rightful place within our community. Panelis slowly rubbed his hands. A small cloud of flower dispersed in the mist. The cold, biting wind was no obstacle to the depth of their exchange. Amadei is a budding young alchemist, no doubt about it. Curiosity is one of the most powerful engines of transformation. What would you say if he ventured into the mysteries of botany, for example? Understanding plants and their applications could open doors for him, a field of even deeper knowledge. What do you think? Could Adele pass on the secrets of the mandala to him? That's exactly what he expresses in his daydreams. The mandala often speaks in his dreams. I've witnessed it. He would like the secret of Adele's elixir of love to endure. He has the intelligence of the heart, our Amadei. And Calixta? What can you tell me about him? It seems that every child has a story to tell in this quest, Panelis asked with a smile. Calixta, on the other hand, is a dreamer. He plays with shadows and memories. He creates stories that seem to come from the beyond. He tells me he can see things others don't, like hidden creatures, spirits from the forest. I believe him. I feel he has this exceptional, almost mystical sensitivity to hear the language of trees. His overflowing imagination drives him to draw worlds that I can't even imagine, let alone enter. That's beautiful. Dreams and imagination are also powerful alchemical tools. You see, alchemy begins with the transformation of matter, but it also liberates itself in creativity and great listening. Calixte could develop certain sensitivities, like perceiving other languages, whether the communicators are trees, animals, or plants. I wouldn't be surprised to see Calixte one day talking to an olive tree or beavers. I can only encourage this creativity, but I fear it might distance him from reality. The risk is that he spends too much time in his dreams, neglecting the world around him. That would concern me. I remain the guarantor of the right balance between reality and the fictional. There are passages, and awareness of phenomena is the key. All four of you, artisans of truth and beauty, will form a family of discoverers. Never forget that each of you has a role to play in the great book of the universe, as workers of the real and creators of dreams. Through you, the extraordinary touches the ordinary. The square will thus transform into a circle, and the squaring will shine. The sun had begun its ascent in the sky. It bathed the mill in golden and orange hues. The mists had completely disappeared. Panelis addressed Hippolyte in a more serious tone. Hippolyte, it's time I share a piece of news that weighs on my heart. Adele and I are preparing to leave this mill to embark on a long journey across the world. This is not a decision I take lightly, but an imperative need for my alchemical quest. A journey? But where do you plan to go, Panelis? And for how long? I don't understand. Here, you are happy with Adele, and you are our two pillars, our guides. Isn't this a quest too much? What will we do without you? Panelis looked at his disciple with eyes full of wisdom. He was aware of the gravity of his words. I understand your concern, Hippolyte. This journey is necessary. It is a path of research and exploration, a confrontation with new knowledge, with the mysteries of the universe and alchemy. Every region, Every culture has its secrets and mysteries to reveal to us. We have a very strong intuition that it is time to go discover them. As you know, we do not make the journeys. It is the journeys that make us. He paused, his gaze fixed on a distant space and time. I do not know if we will return. The road we are about to take is uncertain, full of challenges and trials, but it is essential for our progression and for those we love and protect. Vincit omnia, veritas et junctis viribus. Hippolyte felt a wave of emotions overwhelm him. The shift to Latin heightened the solemnity of the moment. Panalis, the thought of your departure tears me apart. Panalis placed a hand on Hippolyte's shoulder to comfort him. My dear Hippolyte, you hold within you all the keys to continue this quest. Our 3 years together have prepared you to embrace your own light, the light of your protege. You must continue this transformation to become what you are destined to be. Become what you are. Remember that the external teaching of a single man is not enough to transmit alchemy. We discover it primarily by drawing from within ourselves. Hippolyte could not hold back his tears. Panalis, equally moved, continued, "The tears that flow down your cheeks are the same that once flooded your face during our first meeting. You were sitting over there, remember, at the foot of Constantine. You will never lose your way, as long as you keep the flame of knowledge alive within you. It will always be there to show you the path of your life and your duty here on earth. Amédée and Calixte need you to bloom with their own alchemy and their contribution to the world of tomorrow. They too need your teachings, just as you needed mine. I myself received them from an alchemist master. I will tell you about it one day, perhaps." His voice lowered, as if to whisper a secret. "Before I leave, Hippolyte, there is one essential thing I wish to entrust to you. This place, the mill, is our laboratory of life. It has even become a symbol of transformation, wisdom, and life. This transmission is necessary for me to continue my journey, with the assurance that this place will continue to be, here and now, our eternity, my brother. It's an honor, Panalis, but I'm not sure I'm worthy of it. This place has been your life, your work." The slight movement of Panalis's head expressed both exaltation and concern. "You will be the guardian of the knowledge we have created together, and of the freedom it grants. You will continue to embody the soul of our family. Like the Fool, the card from the Tarot of Marseille, you will represent the unlimited potential of liberating knowledge, the opening to the mysteries of life. Your name should not only be identified as an homage, but as an invitation to explore the hidden depths of your existence and your legacy." Panalis then raised his arms as if to embrace this precious moment. "Let this mill, its valley, its pond, and its forest be the eternal Athanor of our union and the values we share, of our endless quest for transformation. May the four elements guide Amédée and Calixte. Baptize this place Dumas Mill, and the birds too will hear the Fool's Mill. I ask you to embrace the unknown and freedom with confidence, to transmit the beauty of the mysteries to those who wish to see it, to those who can see it." The two men embraced warmly. Hippolyte received this final teaching in the hollow of his ear. Magic will not only operate at the heart of the alchemical process, but in the bond of hearts that unite here. The souls of these visitors will always see this place as a beacon, the sacred space where love, knowledge, and the quest for truth intertwine. The warm and humid air will always give birth to the heat of fire, as well as the moisture of water, for the happiness of the grinding of the earth's barley, which we all are. An aura of mystery enveloped Panalis's promising confidence. The two men calmly walked toward the millstones and alchemical tables. For Panalis and Hippolyte, for Adele and Clara, for Calixte and Amédée, it was an almost ordinary day. The next morning, when Hippolyte and his little family woke up, Panalis and Adele had vanished.